Mark Rebo is one of the world's most acclaimed guitarists. Over the course of his 40-year career, he's worked with Elvis Costello, Elton John, and Norah Jones. His latest album is called Songs of Resistance, 1942 to 2018. The album features protest songs ranging from World War II to now. Rebo features several guest vocalists, including Tom Waits, Steve Earle, and Faye Victor. Mark says the roots of his activism date all the way back to his childhood.
It goes back when I was, I think, in second or third grade, and they canceled the Soupy Sales show on television. I organized a walkout from my second grade class. I was a little mystified about the workings of power. Somehow I thought that my teacher could make Soupy Sales go back on the air. It wasn't successful, but that didn't stop me. After Soupy Sales, there was the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm. So you've done a lot. You're not the kind of guy who's content to sit on the sidelines. What inspired you to create this new album, Songs of Resistance, 1942 to 2018?
Well, it was immediately inspired by the election of Donald Trump. I was actually working on a different record with my band Ceramic Dog at the time. Somehow we met after Trump's election, and I said, well, we changed the direction in that album, and I also decided to do another one as well. But I guess the thinking was for us that the world could live without another recording of songs about me fighting with my girlfriend for another few years while we dealt with these more pressing problems.
I've read that one of the inspirations for putting this album together, for creating it, was that you noticed that there were all these dedicated political movements, but they didn't have a musical component. Can you talk about that?
I had noticed that, like, long before Donald Trump's election. I would go on demonstrations and people chant the same half-a-sentence slogan again and again. And no matter how much I agree with it, after a while, I find that, you know, whatever we're marching to create, I might die of boredom before we ever achieve it. So at the same time, we in fact have this wonderful history and heritage of a musical tradition of not just protest music, but resistance music. There's a fine distinction there.
Yeah, what is the distinction?
A protest, whether it's musical or not, recognizes the legitimacy of the authority to which it is protesting. Mm-hmm. A resistance song does not, and exists for another purpose, to energize, instruct, encourage a group which is trying to achieve an objective.
Mm, so would it be fair to say then that a resistance song is more active?
Astra Taylor, who's a wonderful writer and thinker and musician, had a great article about how she hated the word activism, how it had eclipsed the earlier word organizer. I would prefer to see myself as an organizer. Just the idea that activism, you get a gold star for being active, whereas in resistance movements, if you didn't win, you usually got executed. I don't know whether I'm an activist or an organizer, but I know what I do is this, both musically and politically. I go back and I look at the past and I see how people dealt with similar situations in the past, and I try to find what's useful or fun or what we can take from that for now. Another thing that I noticed that gave me the idea that people needed something like this, I remember being at Occupy. It was rumored that they were going to be evicted by the police. And so there we were at 6:30 in the morning, and everybody was milling around half conscious and waiting to be arrested or whatever was going to happen. And people were nervous and trying to get ready, and they were in need of a song, but there was no common song they could sing. I was wishing people knew We Are Soldiers in the Army, which is the song that people in the civil rights movement traditionally sung often while they were being arrested.
We are soldiers in the army. We had to fight, although we have to cry. We had to hold up the bloodstained banner. We've got to hold it up until we die. Oh, we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight,
although we have to cry.
Because that song helped make people brave. The act of singing together helped give people courage. And it also let people know that they're not alone. The people in the paddy wagon can hear the people in the street. The people in the jail cell can hear people in other jail cells. And it also lets us know that we're not alone in history. We have some pretty good company back there.
Let's talk about some of the songs on Songs of Resistance. Can you tell me about Bella Chow, which features Tom Waits?
Yeah, Bella Chow is a World War II era song of the Italian partisans, the partigiani. As with everything else on the record, my goal was not to do an archivally correct version. It's usually done as kind of a really up-tempo, high-spirited march. Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow, Chow. And I just wasn't... First of all, I wanted to translate it into English because I wanted people to understand it. The lyrics to the song begin,
"One fine morning, I woke up early. Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow. One fine morning, I woke up early to find the fascists at my door."
I wanted people to understand that other people had a kind of rude awakening before in the past, and this was their song. In fact, it's about a very intimate moment. It's about somebody saying goodbye to their husband and wife. It's without question a political song, but it's also an intimate song.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tom related to that.
Well, one of the most beautiful songs on the album is The Militant Ecologist, which features a very melancholy, moving vocal performance by Michele Nadeggio-Cello.
Nadeggio-Cello, that's right. Michele is a great singer.
Yes, she is.
And an equally excellent or an amazing bass player,
yeah,
songwriter, and musician. And I've known Michele for some years, and I was thrilled that she agreed to do this tune.
The wind that howls, the storm outside is raging. Our shoes are broken, still we must go on. Just the possibility of a future.
The inspiration for that tune was another Italian partisan song called Fischia il Vento. What happened was I translated Fischia il Vento in using my very inexpert Italian, and I kept working with it melody-wise, trying to change some things about it. It's Fischia il Vento is about a partisan fighter going on a mission. I changed the gender of the partisan fighter. He's now a she. I changed the mission a little bit. The flag that flies in the end is the green flag. This fighter is not marching into the red dawn. I kept the spirit of the song. I changed a lot of the music, most of the music.
Uh-huh.
I just let it keep morphing, and it morphed into a different tune, and that's how Fischia il Vento gave birth to The Militant Ecologist.
You wrote a song called How to Walk in Freedom, and this song features Sam Amidon and Faye Victor, and the opening lines are,
"Come back, Rosa Parks, from the back of the bus. Take the wheel from the city. Steer us back on the road."
Can you tell me what inspired you to write this song?
Wish fulfillment. It's just naked wish fulfillment. You know, again, it's the theme of the record that we're interrogating the past, where I'm asking the past to give us a clue of what to do now.
Yeah.
One thing that I've noticed is that in a lot of civil rights tunes and a lot of other songs, there's the act of walking together. And somehow walking together is a radical act. When you think, who can you walk to? Where can you walk? And what you can sing while you're walking, you can make some progress there.
I want to ask you about the song Srinivas, which is sung by Steve Earle and Tift Merritt.
Time. was a night cold was the ground when they shot Shreeniva Kuchibadla down.
You wrote this one. Can you tell me about it?
I was doing my best to channel something deep from American song in this record. And that song was inspired by a very old song, I think 1600s, a hymn, Dark the Night, called The Ground. And there's a very famous version on instrumental version on solo guitar by Blind Willie Johnson that anybody who knows the history of guitar would know. It's amazing piece of music. And so, well, I was using both the some of the words from the hymn and some of the motifs from the melody. The words from the hymn are, dark the night, cold the ground. And the original words are, when they laid our Savior down. But I used, when they shot Shriniva Kuchibatla down. The song refers to something that actually happened. An anti-Muslim bigot walked into a bar, I think it was in Kansas, and shot two men because he believed they were Muslim. In fact, I think they were Hindu. But that didn't much matter to this guy. Anyways, Shriniva Kuchibatla died, and it was in the news, and I turned on the news, and I saw his mother was being interviewed, and she was crying, and I felt like we owed her a song.
But a stranger shot Shriniva down, screaming, get out of my country. My country 'tis of thee.
You sing a song called The Big Fool, and this clearly seems to be a song about climate change. Can you tell me about The Big Fool?
Yeah, The Big Fool actually, it comes from a song called, I think, Up to Our Necks in the Big Muddy, and which was actually something that's kind of rare, which is a U.S. Second World War protest song against the arbitrary authority of this captain who ordered his soldiers in a training exercise to cross a river called the Big Muddy, even though it was too deep and they were carrying heavy equipment, and several of the soldiers drowned. This was a song from that era. Pete Seeger, in the 60s, updated it and used it as a metaphor for the increasing U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. We're up to our knees, we're up to our waists, we're up to our necks in the Big Muddy, and the Big Fool says, push on. I kept the lyrics, the Big Fool says, push on, and I changed the subject to climate change.
And the permafrost is melting, and the glaciers are receding. The extinctions are beginning, and the Big Fool says push on. And the rich buy private islands, or the food in luxury bunkers. And they'll pay their private arms to shoot our families when we beg. But the Big Fool says keep pushing, and the Big Fool says keep pushing.
What do you want people to take away from listening to Songs of Resistance?
I hope they'll listen to it and like it. I hope people will feel empowered to do the process that I've done, which is to go to the past, go to the musics of the past, go to the history of the past, and learn it, see what's there, take what's useful, and use it now. And that goes for the music of the past. It also goes for lessons we can take away from the politics of the past. This record was inspired politically by the idea of a popular front. That's how the last fight against fascism was won. And that needs to be remembered now, that people were able to work together to defend something that was very important and still is very important.
The people of Missouri thought John Brown was insane. Meanwhile, in their backyards, they had human beings in chains.
Mark Rebo is a musician and the man behind the album Songs of Resistance, 1942 to 2018. You can find out more about Mark at wpr.org/beta.
There was a real art school in Baltimore that I saw the sign for years, and it said study art for fun or profit. The two most artistically incorrect things you would ever say in the serious art world while you studied art.
The inimitable movie maker John Waters joins us to talk about his secret career as an artist.
He had 200 rifles riding by his side.